Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode, Resellers Mindset Podcast. The most annoying things me and Johnny get asked. This is going to be a fun one. I will try not to offend people, but I'm sure I will, because I guess, you know, the people that ask these questions are going to know that they asked the question, right?
Like, and I will purposely offend these people.
Johnny's got like a list of names and the exact question with the timestamp they asked it. So you're all in trouble. I guess I'll get in the hot water first. Most annoying thing I get asked when it comes to being a reseller is, I guess, really like the super basic questions of like, how do I send my stuff to Amazon, right? Like, it's kind of blanket, but it's super beginning. And I feel like it's annoying and stupid because it is like the very first like thing, or like even setting up, like, how do I set up an Amazon account, right? Like, I'm not tech support, right? Like, I can tell you to go to amazon.com/start-selling, right? But like, this is so idiotic to the level of, I just don't want to deal with it. And there are certain things we have to, I guess, do ourselves, right? Because that's basically what this comes down to, because you're asking me something that's so basic on the basic level, where if you just went to Google or went to anywhere and typed it in, you would actually get a full-blown response, instead of me sitting here trying to, I don't know, like micromanage, explain how you send something to Amazon.
Yeah, that's a fun one. I hate that one too. I'll scratch that one off my list, Max. Anyway, what kind of books should I sell, Johnny? I mean, that is such a loaded question, because everybody's region's different, so they have access to different material. So, sure, you're new, you don't know this. I'll give you a somewhat squintable hard squint pass. But then it's like, the profitable ones, dumbass. I mean, they're pretty much asking me for a BOLO list, essentially, without asking for a BOLO list. And it's like, well, I don't have time, nor do I want to give you a BOLO list, because, yeah, I'm in communities and I'm helpful, but there is a secret sauce division of my helpfulness, where, and I probably said over the years way too much, and bred some competition that I normally wouldn't have, just because they were in the dark about it. I can give generals, what generally sells quick and not necessarily valuable, but like 20, 30 bucks worth. That's about as far as I really want to go with it, because everything else is like, do your research, dumbass.
Dude, you backed yourself into this corner, right? Like, yeah. In all my videos and even on the podcast, I say multiple times, like, I know nothing about books. I'm basically illiterate. So I never get asked that question.
Well, yeah, in Amazon land, you got scanning tools. Those are the books you should send in, and it's trigger-based set. Mine is book knowledge of, you got to know that it sells without any tools. There are some tools out there. I mean, you could use the eBay photo app and look up sold comps, just like you could on anything on eBay. But again, laziness. You could use Terapeak and go through the different various book categories and see what sells for big money. Also, the other part of the loaded question is, how are you set up? Like, are you the coffee table bookseller? Probably not starting out, because you're going to have way less listings than a smaller book, paperback bookseller, or there's books smaller than those too. So it really depends on that. Or if you got the warehouse and space doesn't matter, well, why don't you list them all? And why are you asking this asinine question if you already got a warehouse?
I got one that's not even, because I could feel like a lot of these will probably hit on newer sellers, but this one is, I'm going to pick on people that have been doing this for a while. And I get this a lot. Like, How many pieces of inventory do I need to have, or like how much in sales do I need to have to make X amount of dollars, right? So I grew up, math was my, favorite school subject. So everything can be reverse engineered. So I've probably done this like at least 100 times this year for people, and I'm kind of burnt out on doing it. If you just take your numbers and see where you're at and compare them to somebody else, right? Like I put my numbers out there usually every 2 months. I'll do a full numbers breakdown of how much I made, how many items I sold. All you have to do is kind of backtrack that and see, all right, well, if you're making $100,000 and you have, 5,000 pieces of inventory, then you can equate, every 1,000 pieces of inventory to $20,000, right? And it's all reverse engineerable, but it's like people just want me to just do it all for them. And I'm just like, this is going to be ever changing in your business, right? You're going to have a different ASP than me. You're going to be sending different amounts, but it is still kind of like equatable. And I say it all the time, like 1,000 pieces of inventory, I forget the exact number because I've completely wiped it out of my memory, is equivalent to like between 1500 and like 3500 in sales a month, depending on where you're at. So it varies so much, but people ask me all the time, like, I want to make $1,000. How much do I need to sell? I'm like, okay, let's do math here. If the average sales price of your items is $20, all right, how many do you need to get to $1,000? Are you talking profit or are you just talking sales, right? And how much is Amazon taking? If Amazon's taking 50%, then that needs to double. I'm just like, I guess basic math. Just it pisses me off anymore because I'm just a math guy and I know everything can the math is the math. I'm just like, well, just figure it out. Sit down with a pen and piece of paper if you got it and just write it out. That's what I used to do in my YouTube videos. I would write everything out before just taking the screenshots of it on my phone, and you can easily equate whatever you want to get to how many items you need, how much you need to send. It's the same idea of are you growing your inventory? Well, how much are you sending a month versus how much you're selling a month? It just common sense mathematics in any business, I guess, but it doesn't exist out there. And I know a lot of experienced people and people even our group asked me this, and I literally had the same conversation with all of you. Some of you are probably watching this, like just run the numbers backwards and you'll find out exactly how many pieces you need.
I got a better one, and I know you don't like lying, but just tell them 5,000 pieces.
I should, right?
Just
I
like
should.
5K, simple. No more questions, no more fun math. And unless they're doing their business wrong, like sending in things that won't sell, 5,000 active pieces in Amazon land is gonna yield you a pretty nice paycheck. And if you don't like the numbers after 5,000, well, send in 10,000. And keep going up until you are personally satisfied. That's how I would approach that. But Mike's a gentleman, a scholar, post the scoundrel like I am. Things that annoy me. Well, on a similar vein, how many eBay listings should I do? Well, what are your items worth? Are they worth $10 or are they worth $100? Well, okay. The answer is going to vary based off what you personally want. I don't know what your goals are. Are you the apartment guy who just wants to make his rent bill? Or are you the guy who wants to retire on a private island? Your mileage and the answer is really going to vary. And it's going to be based off the material. So either you list a lot less, but your items got more bang for the sale than the $10 an item guy who's going to be a pure volume-based business. General rule of thumb, and nobody's gonna like this answer, they never do. And I got this answer from Tekken. No, I won't say it was Tekken. It was in Chris's old group. I don't remember if it came from Chris or Tech. I'm thinking Chris, maybe.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
It would be 20 items is considered part-time and 30 items is considered full-time, a 10 item separator. So, but I'm guarantee you most people don't even get to 20 a day. 20 items a day, times 7, 140 items listed a week on eBay is considered part-time. Anything above 30 is considered full-time. If you can't list 30 and you're treating this as full-time, well, it's time to go back to that full-time job or switch over to Amazon.
One I get all the time is whenever I bring it up, like, how do you get that relationship with the library? Right? I'm just gonna start telling people, and I don't care that I say library, right? I don't care about the pronunciations, okay? At the end of the day, pronunciation
Mike, do
is
you know you're saying library wrong? That question annoys me too when I see it.
library, LIBERRY, right? It's a type of berry, some type of
It's like
hybrid.
Mayberry, but library, berry.
Library.
I can't even say it like you, and I'm
Yeah,
trying.
yeah. How do I get a library connection, or how do I get backroom access? Well, I hate to break it to you. I mean, if we can't, it's just common denomination. Like, all right, I guess unless you built the library yourself, right? Then you're automatically, right? It's all yours. But like for everybody else, right? You have to, I don't know, maybe go in, maybe talk to someone, maybe send an email. Like it is. There's no.
Crazy talk. No.
What do they think I do? Do they think like I like shoot steroids? I get all oiled up. I go in there ripped, looking for the old ladies. Like,
No,
hey.
no. You go in and you sign their year-long membership, pay a $500 fee, and this allows you access to the evil council of witch librarians. And if you don't tip them each $100 and do the hokey pokey, you don't get backroom access.
I really think like that's what people I actually was in the back room of one of my thrift stores 3 weeks ago, probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, and you didn't see nothing. I didn't tell nobody about it because I didn't even want to hear this shit about, yo, dude, how'd you get in the back room? Like I literally, Johnny, what I was doing, there was a lady walking around straightening up the store. I had like a little shopping basket full of books and DVDs, and they had a lot of them, so I'm like digging through them. Lady came over, said, "Hey, you buying all those?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "I got more in the back." Dude, is that easy? Like, if you just, and when I'm there, right? Me and you both believe on treating others how we want to be treated, right? If I'm in the store, it's a little thrift shop. I'm making sure the shelves nice and neat after I'm done scanning and screwing it up. I think it's so easy to do it, but it still drives me nuts. People are like, "How'd you get in the back room?" Or "Where can I get a library car full of books?" And I'm just like, you just gotta be personable and have conversations, and you know, it's all a service. We're service-based. Provide them the service, right? You're not having, it's not like I pull up to the library and I have all the old ladies load my car up, right? I'm like, hey, I'll come in and I'll load it to the car, right? This resellers are scumbags. All you gotta do is be the tiniest bit of nice, and you're already above 95% of the resellers out there in the universe. It's the same when you go to a library sale. And all the crazy ass people are running around, right? I just laugh at them. Like, you're never going to get nowhere. You're always going to be chasing your tail. And that's, but yeah, dude, how can I get that? How can I get that bulk source? I'm just like, I don't know. Like Johnny said, I got a little library, witchcraft Ouija board over here that every night I go to, and it tells me where to go.
Yeah, I mean, it literally is as simple as asking. Those that dare to ask are better part of valor. I'm probably misquoting that, but you get the idea. Most people don't ever ask. They expect that they'll be offered it, I think. And why would the librarian even think of this? They might at some point if they're really savvy, but these people are just doing their 9 to 5. They're worker bees. They don't really care. You're an inconvenience when you come to the counter, and they want you gone as fast as possible, usually. So if you ask the question, they're usually looking for two things. They're looking for cash money, or they're looking, like Mike said, to have a service offered to them to get their time back. Because they got stuff maybe building the back room, and they didn't even think about somebody daring to ask them this question, and now they have a solution to the back room problem that they have on that's an ongoing basis. Because these libraries and thrift stores too, they get stuff donated all the time. That building is only so big. And that's why they do these library sales to thin those back rooms out usually. Now, some libraries have like a real deal private collection in the back room that they may put out a book of that once in a blue moon in a special case. They won't let you touch those books or go anywhere near them, and they'll never sell them to you. But that notwithstanding, they usually have the run of the mill. They don't perceive value in those kind of books. For us Amazon and eBay sellers, there's huge value in it. They care about the ultra rare 1700s leather bound inked in blood kind of books. Those are precious to them, and they will keep and hold on to those till the end of time. Things that annoy me. Let's see here. It's really a lump all question of how do I do this? Where do I do that? And a lot of those answers are really Googleable. Google that shit. You can really Google it. I promise. Type it in. Maybe YouTube it if you can't find a Google search. And after that, your question is then valid to me. If you haven't done those two simple things, your question's invalid. And, well, I've been using this word a lot today, dumbass.
Yeah, I think it's honestly, I think the society we are creating as human beings is it's all just everybody else does it for you, right? Like I don't have to do anything myself, right? And that's why I keep it at $2.99 because if somebody asks me a question, like you're paying me $2.99, right? Like I don't have the time of day. Like let's be honest. Like if I see the question, I'll answer it. But like overall, like you said, these things are so basic and silly. And I'm going to piggyback on that one with the next one I got is if somebody's like thinking about buying like a huge lot, they put it out for everybody else's opinion. Should I buy this, Johnny? Should I buy this lot? And there's 35 photos.
I don't
I'm
work for
just,
you, photo guy or girl.
that's not even, I'm just thinking to myself, like, if we can't make the decision ourselves based on the photos, like, why would you ever? Like, all right, I'll ask Deb sometimes, like, hey, what do you think of this? Right. But like, I'm not going to ask random people on the internet, be like, hey, is this a good lot? Like, yeah, I can take a quick look at it, but then I guess it's just a cop out. So if it sucks, you can just blame me. Right. Like, if Johnny tells me to buy it and it sucks, I'm like, Johnny, you owe me $10,000 that I paid for those 100 DVDs. Right. I guess
I
that's why
tell
people
people
don't.
not to sell paperbacks because they don't do work like I do. They buy them and they try to sell them and they get $2. I'm like, well, there's a reason you got $2 because you made a $2 listing.
I don't know, man. It drives me nuts because if it doesn't seem like it's a good deal to you, all right. I go on Facebook Marketplace. There's this deal. It looks terrible to me, but I still put it out there. And Johnny's like, it's a great deal. And I'm like, just because Johnny says it's a good deal, if I think it's a shit deal, I don't care if Johnny says this is the greatest deal he's ever seen in his life. I'm not buying the damn thing. But people are like, I guess people are influenced by others and I understand that to a degree. If you're brand new, but then I would just say, why are you trying to buy all these items in bulk if you're brand new, right? You should have a little bit of knowledge under your belt before you're buying 1,000 DVDs, and you're not going to be able to see every single title. And most of the times, I'm not looking any of the titles up, right? I'm just saying how many they got, or that the photos look decent, do they look like they're in half decent condition, and is the price right? I don't do any type of I'm going to look up every DVD in this tote to see if it's worth it. No, I don't do any of that, but it just drives me nuts because who cares what other people think? You're the one that's got to pay the money out of pocket. You're the one that's got to go do the work.
Exactly. And I'll touch on that in just a minute. But the, like he was saying, what may be a good deal to me may be a horrible deal to him. I have access to knowing how to sell that or who to sell it to. Mike may not have that, or you may not have that. Just because I think it's a great deal, I have the means to liquidate it by my means, whether that's on eBay, whether that's a phone call, whether it's to some brick and mortar store that loves those things. I have access to that. You don't. So it may be a horrible deal, even though I say it's a great deal. So if you don't know how to sell it, it's probably not worth your time to pick up, unless, again, you have a solution to that. There are consignment things out there. Again, there are bookstore relationships you can make. There are Amazon and eBay are also options, but if you don't know that off the get, don't pick it up. It's not for you unless you're trying to learn. Like, I don't know how to sell this, but I'm going to learn everything about how to sell it. Good for you. That is the price of knowledge, you learning. And on those notes, I'm gonna steal one of Mike's again, but I have a different answer why I hate it. The photo thing. And I'm talking about you're at an estate sale and you take a picture of the whole bookcase. Hey guys, what's valuable here? What should I pick up? Fuck you. I'm not your employee. I'm not doing the work for you, jackass. There's gonna be a lot of swearing on this podcast, and I'm not sorry. I do not work for you. Why are you wasting my time and everybody else's time by asking that? I get it. You're wanting a answer and I don't know, quote unquote, community save me time. I get that. But for me to even read your message, I'm like, waste of time. They don't even know what they're doing.
It takes more time to take a photo and upload it than it is to just look the items up.
Yeah, do your research there. With that phone, you just took a photo. I hope it's a phone that you took a photo of and look them up. If you don't know it and you got a, I don't know, gut instinct feeling, well, take the risk. If you're really unsure and tentative, don't take the risk. It's as simple as that. But I'm sorry, that one annoys me the most. Like, or and worse than that, look at the wall of bookshelf. There's hundreds of books there.
You can't even zoom in.
I can't even read the title. Some of the books are flipped upside down. Fuck you.
It's like that meme where the guy's trying to read the thing. He's like this close to it. Like, dude, that's AI's around the corner. We'll never have to do it again. They can just plug it into some AI software somewhere, and that'll wipe our hands clean of the hey Johnny, is there anything profitable behind me on the in these warehouse shelves, dude? Can you figure it out? Like, I'm gonna flip it on a script a little bit. I questions that we wish people asked us.
Ooh.
I'll start out because I've got one in my head, right? How much driving does the used book guy do in a week, right? Like, how long are you sitting in the car listening to the Dave Ramsey podcast every single week, right? Like, it's funny because these things are so pertinent to like the ins and outs of my business, but like to the most least exciting things. But like, if I told people, hey, you're going to have to drive, some weeks, 15, 20 hours, maybe even 25 hours, like people are going to check out instantly, right? Like, they think I just go to like my local, I walk to all my thrift stores, Johnny. You don't even need a car, right? They think it's just that easy. And I'm just like, hey, if you guys understood,
There's a little
like,
red wagon behind you.
yeah, like tomorrow, I'm going to be way out going to a library sale. I'm going to be driving. It's going to be, an hour and probably 15 minutes one way. I'm going to hit thrift stores and then I got to go to the library sale and I'm going to be out basically from 8 to 8. It's not exciting, but nobody ever asked me about that. I'm just like, I guess it paints a clearer picture. And like, I could talk about it here and there passing by on YouTube videos, but like, I can't just do a YouTube video of me just sitting in the car listening to podcasts all day.
Here is a question I would love to ask. I've yet to be asked this, and now I'll only be asked it because I'm mentioning it on this
I
podcast.
know.
Johnny, what's an original book selling idea that I could do? Because I see everybody else doing basically the same thing. Where's the hole in the market that I can fill? I would love to answer that question. That'd be a great question. We've talked about some ideas here on the podcast, but no one in our group, I'm talking to you group with my sad eye face, has ever asked this question about how to be original. Because I get people to look at my store. I got people, we got people that copy Mike verbatim. Nothing wrong with that. That's what the group's here for. But they never go outside the box or experiment. Well, I'm not going to say they never experiment, but they don't experiment in the way I'm trying to describe. They're not trying to be, no one's ever done this before. They're not pushing the boundaries. And the argument can be made, there are no more boundaries to push, but I call bullshit. There are plenty.
Oh yeah, I agree. There's always different things you can do. There's always different, completely different out of the box ideas that are out there. And like you said, we've talked about some crazy ideas. And there's people out there making lots of money with some of those ideas, right? We talked about doing like the book saves or even the book art, right? Like, there's so many different things you can do with media besides just sell the actual item as the item that it is. And that's just the beginning of it, right? Johnny's not even talking about just being like, all right, well, why don't you just be like the most? I even thought about doing this, right? What if you just cornered the market? What if I said, I'm going to be the only damn railroad bookseller out there?
Yeah.
And I just go buy every single railroad book. I crush my competition, and then basically I can control the market prices on maybe it's not even all railroads. Maybe it's like the Lionel trains, right? So every Lionel train book I'm going to own, and I'm going to decide what the price is. And whenever it pops up for $5, I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to sell it online for $20. I think there's so many different things we could do, but you're right. Number one,
Nobody
too
wants
much
to be
work.
a specialist. They want to go the tried and true method. Nothing wrong with the tried and true method, but we ask the question, what are questions we would love to hear? I would love to hear that. I would probably sit down with that person and talk with them like for an hour or more. Like, you could do this, you could do that. If you do this, you then open it up, and then we could talk about sell through, and then we could talk about dollars and or your ASP in dollars and this kind of deal. Like, which avenue do you want to go? What's abundant in your area? Like Texana Books. If you're the Texana bookseller, I mean, you're gonna have a very curated list of people to sell to. Or I mean, we talked about it. If you were literally the Bible hymnal seller, or the local signed author seller, or the surfboard bookseller, or movie seller, or the soundtrack only seat. See, these are just. See how quick that comes? Like that. There's like, what could I do to be that guy or that girl? I mean, there are so many cool ways you could go. I went kind of, I mean, even mine is not technically specialized. It's just old vintage paperbacks. It's pretty generic, but everybody thinks that's super niche down when it's really not. If I was the vintage horror paperback seller, now we're talking, that's niched.
Yeah, it's for the sake of me and Johnny not getting asked all these questions, those are the only two we are going to give you for questions we want to be asked. I'm gonna get back to my last one I have for this episode is what should I be doing for taxes?
Oh, God.
I am not a CPA tax professional, yada 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 yada. There's people in your local area that do local small business taxes, and there's plenty of resources out there where you can get and find out information about bookkeeping and taxes for you as a sole proprietor, S Corp, L Corp, M Corp, P Corp, whatever damn corp you want to be, LLC, CEO, CFO, I don't even know, but it's like, it's always people that are like, they haven't even sold their first damn item yet, and they want to know, should I be an S Corp? I don't even know what an S Corp is. I don't operate as one. I appreciate you asking me. I don't know. Maybe I have no idea. But the tax questions and the bookkeeping questions, oh my, there's even groups out there. Like, just go to Cheryl's page, join her group. She's a certified professional. She'll take care of you. Like, asking your average Joe Blow reseller, which I'm here to tell you, most of them probably file their taxes absolutely wrong, especially when you come across them in the YouTube realm, or they don't file taxes at all, right? The good old, I didn't make 20K, so I'm not gonna file tax shit. But I'm not gonna give advice on these things because it's different for everybody. I don't know how you operate your business, but it pisses me off. I'm just like, this is such a technical question, and like, literally has legal trouble behind it if you get the wrong one. But people, if I told everybody, dude, go be an S Corp, don't file taxes, you'll be fine. We'll all wind up in jail together.
Now, a similar one to me is, what credit card should I have? What should I be getting for a credit card to run my business? I heard cash back is good. The answer to that is so loaded. It depends what you are. If you travel a lot, a travel-based cash back card or points card is better for you than a cash back person. And which one offers percentages, which ones have caps, which one's unlimited? Can I combine a bunch of these into a center thing? Like Jack, he's a master at that. He spends time and research doing that. And again, there are other people on YouTube and elsewhere that specialize in that answer. They are qualified to give their expert opinion. And again, it's just that, an opinion. Because just like what kind of books I should sell, it's going to be different. For answer's going to be different based off what you personally are wanting. I can't give you an answer to that. Yeah, American Gold Card. Go with that. No, don't do that.
Yeah, well, whatever the hell, whatever we tell you. I guess it all comes back to wrap this episode up. is that people trust us, Johnny, and it's not that we don't want to answer questions. We enjoy answering questions. I enjoy sitting on the Discord and answering questions from time to time, but there are definitely a large amount of questions that you spend more time asking than if you just went to Google and like it's those things where you start typing it in Google and it knows you're going to ask it, right? Like those are the types of questions we kind of, I don't know, they irritate us. And I guess, what do they say? No question is a dumb question, but I think in today's world, when it comes to starting a business, like how do I open an Amazon account is a dumb question. Like I think there are exceptions to that. No question, the dumb question. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. I wish somebody would ask me why I'm going bald at age 37. Nobody ever asked me, Johnny. I guess nobody really cares about my hair or my looks, and I guess I just have to live with that. And I'll give you the answer. It's because I worked at CVS for over 10 years. And they just ran me into the ground, and I lived on Pringles and Arizona teas, right? So all my hair nutrients just, I guess, it went away. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll talk to you all next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.